Parashat Vayakhel deals with the summation of the donations, the building of the Mishkan. I'd like to focus in, Mirtz Hashem, today on one Pasuk. Pasuk tells us, this is Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Kaf Beis, 35:22. The men came with the woman, everyone whose heart motivated him brought bracelets, nose rings, body ornaments, all sorts of gold ornaments, every man who raised up an offering of gold to Hashem, every man with whom was found turquoise, purple, etc. The Hebrew language of the Pasuk, again, as we've seen in the past, the translation is an explanation. So the way that it translates it is the men came with the women. The Hebrew text is, Vayavo ha-nashim al ha-nashim. The men came al. Al literally means on the women. So the question, and this is going to be our primary question today, is how do we understand what it means that the men came on the women, right? In what way did the men come on the women? It would make more sense the way, indeed, it's translated, and this is indeed the way Rashi translates it, source number two, im ha-nashim, with the women, next to the women, not on the women. Hal means, im means with. If indeed it means with, then why not just write im? Obviously, if it's writing al, we're here to be able to learn something from that as well. And that will be our first major question. The second question that we're going to Mirtz Hashem touch on is a medrash that the Asufos Marochos brings. Amar lo, Moshe l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'dok otam she'asu et ha-mishkan, machti b'lta klala, pirku nizmei ha-zahab. By the Chayin Ha'egel, it says, they took off their ornaments, nizmei ha-zahab. We see that the men took off their ornaments to give to the Mishkan, and those very same gold jewelry which they had used for the egel, for the sin of the golden calf, now they're using their ornaments for the Mishkan. With the ornaments they sinned, and with the ornaments they got forgiven. And we need to understand, what is this specifically about these jewelries that Chazal understand that there is some type of correlation with these very same things that they sinned? These are the things that they're now getting forgiveness for. Why is there this focus specifically on the jewelry, b'nizamim chatu, with the jewelry they sinned and with the jewelry they are forgiven, the focus in on the jewelry and what it teaches us. And that will be our second understanding. I'd like to take a look al hanashim. Hanashim al vaivo hanashim al hanashim. I'd like to take a look at it in four different ways. The first two we'll do very briefly, and the last two will in Mirtz Hashem develop. The four note 5a, and the men came with the women together. With the contributing women came their husbands to confirm the offerings so that the officers would accept them, since we do not accept contributions from women except for small insignificant things. As the notes point out at the bottom, the Sforno explains, source 5b, the reason why the men came with the women. He also explains the concluding part of the verse, meaning that since those men who brought gold were minorities, it's unusual to have the gold. So they came together with the women to join those who were contributing for their particular precious metals. We know that women are allowed to give small amounts of donations, but anything major, they need to have their husband's consent. Idea being that their husbands really own this property and they don't have a right to give it without their consent. So the men came, vayvor nashim al hanashim, is almost literally on top of, supervising the women. It was obviously, as Excel Sefer points out in Source 4, they came first. They wanted to give. However, you needed to have the Anashim Al, supervising, in charge of the women, to say to the officers who were collecting that we are ready to allow this donation to be given. No need to hold yourselves back from taking them. Take them Gezuntahein. It's interesting, Vayavinu B'mikra, understanding this, explains the following. He says, V'lachein nire b'pshitut, source 6, d'harei, afsha nashim ha'yirotzo lakdisha tachshitim, lo yamakdisham otam b'loos k'man abal. D'harei tachshitim elu nasu fayis abal, shismach b'ishto. V'lo yamakaba mehem Moshe, Rabbeinu takshitim keilu marchikim simchas habayit. L'ficha bau ha'anochim yachin imahem. To say they're merutzim. So explain the Vayvina Mikra a little bit different than this forno. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu was reticent to accept these jewelry because jewelry is supposed to bring, you know, happiness between a husband and a wife. It's something that makes the husband, you know, enjoying to see his wife all dressed up, you know, all adorned, etc. So Moshe Rabbeinu was like, I'm not going to take this jewelry. It's going to create shalom bayis problems. So Vayvo anashim al hanashim, that the men were coming saying, yes, we agree to this. We have no problems giving up this jewelry for the Mishkan. So this is idea number one. Al hanashim is that the men were coming almost in a supervisory role, almost in an, you know, allow them to accept the gifts of the women. That's approach number one. Approach number two is found in the Targum Onklus. Source number 9, we'll explain this Targum Onklus on a number of levels. Onklus Targum Al Nashaya, Sheba'au Malbushim B'Tachtishtehem, V'Sham Pirku V'Natnu L'Nedivas HaMishkan. So that's Targum Onklus, this is the second understanding. V'Yavo HaNashim Al HaNashim, the men came Al HaNashim, with their ornaments, with the woman who had the ornaments were al hanashim. The pasuk is describing where the ornaments of the women were found. The men came, they were carrying the ornaments, but the women came al hanashim. The ornaments were still on them when they came to the Mishkan. Why were the ornaments still on them? So there are a number of ways of understanding this. One way is the Meshech Chochma that the Ner Uziel brings. Meshrecha explains in Source 8 that the word used to express the term with literally means on. Thus the verse can be explained to mean that the men came bringing as their donation that which was on their wives. Jewish law prescribes deriving benefit from any object that has been used for idol worship. Even if so, if someone has set aside a specific object for the purpose of idol worship, declaring, I wish to dedicate this object of mine for idolatry, he may benefit from it as long as it was never actually used. He may not, however, donate to the Beis Hamikdash, because from Hashem's perspective, the object once pledged is considered to be a revolting thing. The Medrash tells us that at the time of the sin of the golden calf, many golden calves were actually made, as is indicated in the words of the people, these are your gods, Israel. In addition to a large golden calf around which the people dance and celebrate, everyone wanted to have his own miniature golden calf to carry with them. Thus, after the golden calf was made, the people continued to pledge more of their gold for these miniature idols. Later, when Jewish men came to donate the materials for the Mishkan, there was no guarantee that Hashem would not consider the gold revolting, for perhaps earlier they had pledged it for the making of another miniature golden calf. The only gold the Jewish men could not have pledged for idol worship was their wives' jewelry. The woman had refused en masse to participate in the worship of the golden calf. Thus the Torah tells us the men brought the gold that was on the women, their wives' jewelry, and therefore Hashem would accept it because it was not part of their mindset to give it to Avodah Zarah. So understanding one of why was it on the women, says the Meshech Chochma, the men brought the jewelry that was on the women. What does that mean? It means that obviously this jewelry was not in any way connected with Avodah Zarah, and therefore Hashem would accept it. That's one way of understanding Al HaNashim. A second way is what Rosh Moshe himself brings down, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that sound, Source 9. The nearest Yutrach Shabbat Malbushem Hu Kidei Larot Shemashinotim Atachshiti. Why was it that the women had the jewelry on them? This is a reflection of the women. The reason that they're giving the jewelry, Eino Mishum Dein Lahem Sarah Gadol Bahem. It's not because, you know, sitting in a vault and sitting in their jewelry box collecting dust and that they're not using it. So you know what? I never use this piece of jewelry anyway. I'll give it away. No, this was something that they wore all the time. To show that even though they liked to wear this jewelry, and it was something that they wore all the time, nevertheless, they're giving it with joy, because giving it over was even more joyful than wearing it. And from this, the Rav Moshe learns in Source 15, the woman has taught us It's that when you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, instead of saying, well, I can really use my time to do something better, oh, okay, I'll do a mitzvah. No, this is the most precious thing for me. I want to take this time to do this mitzvah. I want to take this time to learn Torah. I want to take this time to do chesed. So by bringing the jewelry on them, they're showing that this is what's beloved to them. It's not like secondary, oh, I'll give it anyway. No, I'm giving it with the sense that this is what I'm doing, and I know what I'm doing, and it's beloved to me, and this is a priority. Similarly, the Dutch Raga notes, and this is again showing you the greatness of the women, Elalodinu chibatam, in source 11, Avatam v'srizvatam, shel neshot Yisrael binadvutam lamishkan, shaloshahu afilu kedei rega achad kedei liparek matashitim, Elahein halchu bezrizut be'or atachshitim aleim l'nadev otam l'avodus ha'mishka. And this is the shleimus b'maylos ha'zrizus and simchatam gdola shal noshim b'shani tinatam etrumat ha'mishka. Notes from Shraga Grossberg, Tzatzal, and Dutch Raga. This shows you the great level of the women. They, when they heard, you know, there's a call to donate jewelry, they picked themselves up and went right away. They didn't even have time to take it off of themselves. Whatever jewelry they were wearing, they ran. That was the reason. That was the alacrity. That was the joy that they had. So not only is it something that they weren't giving, you know, their second-rate jewelry, they didn't even have time to take it off. They came with their jewelry to show this amount of resources, this amount of love. And this is what we see, says the Tifa Torah in verse 12. Even though women are very into their jewelry, and when they walk around with their jewelry, they feel very good about themselves. Here, nevertheless, what was even more important than themselves was the Mishkan. They went all bedecked, all dressed up, and they did this. They did this with the greatest amount of love and endearment that you could ever have to show their Mesiris Nefesh for building the Mishkan. And you see how precious this was for them, that they gave Belev Shalem, Benefesh Chafetza, that gave a tremendous amount of love, of B'chom Eldecha, with all their money, they were able to donate to the Mishkan. And this, the Rav Shimshon Pinkus Tzatzal, Tiferet Shimshon, draws such a powerful lesson for our lives. He says in Source 13, he says that money is something that causes most of the shalom bayis issues in families and in business partnerships and in different relationships. People argue over money. Here you see that these jewelry was very valuable to the women. This money meant a lot to them. But you know what meant even more to them? Hashras Hashchina. What it meant even more to them was that God should be found in the Mishkan and His presence should dwell. And he said that we could learn this lesson, that yes, money is important, but Ashras HaShechina, divine providence, and divine presence is even more important. So then husbands and wives would know that as, you know, important it is, you know, to be careful with money, etc., but there's even a greater value here. And that is to be able to recognize that the ultimate goal is Shechina, you know, Shruya Beinayim, Ish V'Isha, that you have the divine presence among them. And that we know, and this is something that is recommended in Shalom Bayis classes, to have a special Shalom Bayis fund. So that sometimes you need to spend money on something you wouldn't want to, but if this was going to create Shalom Bayis, so I'm ready to spend the money, and you have a special fund that you take it out of the Shalom Bayis fund that, you know, we can't really afford to have these guests, and the husband says, but we need to have these guests, it's important for me to invite them, and the wife is saying, where do you expect me to get money to feed all these people? Shalom Bayis fund. We'll take it out of this fund, and this way you'll be happy to have these guests, and we have the money, right? So these conflicts, these challenges, when they come from the wife says, I really need X, the husband says, you really need X? You know, you don't need a fancy grater, you have that grater, you know, you can use your hand, so you get a little bit, a little bit of skin is found in the potato kugel. It's no skin off his back, right? So, no, this is very important to her. So the Shalom Bayis fund. And this is what we're learning from the women, that they understood that even more important than money is Hashras Hashchina, and this is a major lesson for us to learn for our lives. Having said this, we've learned two ideas so far. We've learned Sforno. The men were supervising the women. They were giving the okay, the approval for the women. ala nashi means that the women actually had it on them. Whether the Meshech Chachma, this was the only type of jewelry that they knew would be l'shem Shemayim that Hashem would accept, or it's describing how great these women were, their tzrivs of sor alacrity, their simcha, the tuv levav that they wanted to give this, what was so important for them, was the Ashras Hashchina. Those are the two ways to learn the word al, literally on. The third approach, which is the approach of the Ramban, the approach of Rashi, is al means im, with. Let's take a look at the Ramban in source number 14. The Ramban says the following, Kitam al anashim, toward the last four lines of the Ramban, Shehen hayu sham batchilav anashim nitfalu lahem. For the connotation of with the women in this verse is that they were there first, and the men joined them as secondary donors. So we see here that the women were the ones who were the first ones to donate. Al hanashim im hanashim. The men came with the women. Who came first? The women came first. Once the women came and donated, then the men came, schlepping along afterwards, and they also donated. Rav Munk, quoting Rashi, the men came along with the women, following close after them. This interpretation implies that the women were even more zealous than the men as they donated their finest ornaments in honor of Hashem's sanctuary. Continuing 15, Rav Munk, when the golden calf was erected, the men had divested themselves of the golden pendants, unlike the women refused to give towards it. For their loyalty to Hashem on these two occasions, says Rabbi Eliezer, the Spirka de Rabbi Eliezer, they're rewarded in this world and in the next. In this world, they're rewarded with the celebration of the Rosh Chodesh, which women traditionally abstain from certain types of work activities, but reward also awaits women in the next world for their promised eternal youthfulness. And he brings down the idea from Sefer Chassidim that just like the moon cycles, so does a woman cycle. Some men would say woman cycles in her moods, but that wasn't what he was referring to. And therefore, the women are given this holiday of Rosh Chodesh. So we see here from the fact that the women were the ones who took the initiative and had the joy in giving to the Mishkan and to the tabernacle. Therefore, they're rewarded with the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. And Ad Hayom, until today, women abstain from certain acts of household labors, laundry, sewing, things like this, on Rosh Chodesh to mark that it is indeed a special day. Rabbi Miller in Shabbat Shirim discusses a little bit more deeply what is the connection between Dafka and Rosh Chodesh, why was that specifically given to the women? And he says, since the source 16, there's one type of festival indeed that's regarded in Jewish tradition as female Yantif, a Jewish woman's day. This is Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, Jewish sources remind us that many women have the praiseworthy custom refraining from work on Rosh Chodesh on the grounds of Rosh Chodesh has been given to Jewish women as a special yontif of their own. The Torah in Or HaChaim explains that the three pilgrim festivals, Shlosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, are given recognition of the three patriarchs, each of whom has a special connection with one of the festivals, while the 12 festivals of Rosh Chodesh were to correspond to the 12 tribes. Since we're compared to the new moon, as we say in the blessing on the appearance of the new moon, however, when the 12 tribes succumb to the sin of the golden calf, the festival of Rosh Chodesh, a symbol of, source 17, the renewal of the divine presence in Israel, was taken away from the men of the 12 tribes who had participated in the sin and given to the women folk who had refused to participate. Now, that the woman refused to help make the golden calf is seen from the text of the Torah, which recounts that all the people, i.e. the men, had assembled around Aaron, broke off the golden rings, but does not mention the woman. On the other hand, with regard to the contribution toward the building of the sanctuary, the Torah emphasizes the prominent role played by the woman, as we see in our pasuk. But, notes Rabbi Miller, our question, but why Rosh Chodesh, the sin of the men, for whom it would otherwise have been appropriate for Esther to deprive them of it, but cannot become appropriate for the woman merely on account of the men's loss of it. Just because the men lost it doesn't mean, okay, now let's give it to the women. There must obviously be a deeper significance between Rosh Chodesh and the women. There was also some interconnection between Rosh Chodesh and the women of Israel themselves. So obviously the number of answers, let's share the answer of the Baalei Tosfos. The commentary of the Baalei Tosfos on this week's Sidra gives the following reason. The sanctuary on which they contributed to liberally was established, so liberally was established on Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Nisan. And therefore, since the Mishkan was established on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the hallowed day of Rosh Chodesh was given to the women. Well, hold on a second, asked Rabbi Miller. This explanation raises two questions. First, why should the day the sanctuary was set up have been declared a festival for the women, since they had no part in the construction of the Mishkan? What day should have been given to them? The day they actually contributed. And further, why, too, according to this, was a festival allocated in recognition of the contribution to the sanctuary? Why not make a holiday recognition of the fact they didn't give to the Cheder Hagel? Why are we focusing on one and not on the other? Surely it required at least as much strength of character to resist her husband's pressure to contribute to the calf together with them to join with her husbands in contributing to the sanctuary. So perhaps, to understand the Balei HaTosfos, we need to understand the Maharal and Pirkei Avos. The Maharal speaks about there are four qualities in human temperament. One, he who is angered easily and who is appeased easily, his loss disappears in his gain. He who is hard to anger and hard to appease, his gain disappears in his loss. He who is hard to anger and easy to appease is saintly. He who is easy to anger and hard to appease is wicked. And the Maharal points out, in the first two cases, we can't ascribe whether they're wicked or saintly, because this is the characteristic of a person. This is their temperament. Some people are easy to get angry and easy to reconcile. Some people are hard to get angry and hard to calm down. So this is who you are, and the loss and the gain balance themselves out. Where do we, notes the Maharal, give a character definition of who a person is? In the case when a person has to work on themselves. If a person is by nature easily stirred to emotion, this is source 19, he should by nature be quick to anger, but just as quick to be appeased. Conversely, one whose emotion not easily stirred should be just as hard to appease as he is to anger. And that's why a man who is hard to anger but easy to appease has evidently made an effort to let the love of his fellow overcome the evil part of his nature, and therefore he's deemed saintly. And likewise the opposite as well. A person who it takes very, very hard to get them to get angry, and yeah, they're very easy to appease, it means they've worked on themselves. That's a tzaddik. A person who's very, you know, quick to get angry and very hard to appease, that's also a person who's worked on themselves for the negative. And that's why we can call such a person saintly or wicked. Now we can understand the women in this perspective. Had the women not given to the Chet HaEgel, you could easily say, you know what? These women are stingy women. They don't like to part with their things. Ah, okay, I hear that. Then I would assume by the Mishkan that what? They also won't want to part by their things. If you're going to say that that was their temperament, that they're just stingy, then they're not going to part in either case. But here you see that when it came to the Chet HaEgel, the women were what? We're not getting rid of our things. However, when it came to the Mishkan, not only were they ready to give their things, they were the first ones, they were saris. They were quick to give their things. So you see clearly that the women had really worked on themselves, that they are working on who they are, that they know when they're ready to give up their things and when they're not. It's just not a temperament or personality. This is something that was thought through, and this was something that took effort. And likewise, the opposite. If the women are going to say, you know what, we want to have nothing to do, it was their negative reaction to the calf together with their positive reaction to sanctuary that proved their worth. For in either case, they must have let their choice of good or rejection of evil overcome their natural inclination. However, how do I really know that it wasn't a momentary decision? You know, sometimes we get very inspired. You know, there is a person who gets up in shul and gives this heart-wrenching story about some stuck organization, and we're just like so taken by this. We say, we're going to pledge X amount of money, and we're really into it. And then, you know, a week later, we say, where was I thinking? Like, there are many heart-wrenching stories. Why am I giving so much money? And then you regret it, and you're like, or second-guessing it, and you're saying, I think I overreacted a little bit. I got a little bit emotionally drawn into this story. When a person a week later says, I'm so happy I gave that amount of money, I really feel good about it, then you know that this is really who they are. This is their core. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan had now been built and taken down for 7 days, and now it was ultimately going to be built up, the woman, had they stood there and said, oh, I hope this Mishkan doesn't make it. I hope that, you know, the Shekhinah doesn't come down. I hope we can just melt back that jewelry and get it back to themselves. Then you know that they, when they gave it on an impetuous feeling of, oh, I want to contribute to the Shekhinah and to the Mishkan. You know, I'm going to be the head of the building campaign. But when push comes to shove, they're like, uh-oh, no. The women were very happy. They were the ones who were ecstatic that the Mishkan was being built. In no way did they want to have their jewelry come back at all. Because of that, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was like the stamp that indeed the women had worked on their nature, and it wasn't that they were stingy, it was that they were careful what they were donating to and what they weren't donating to. And it was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan when the Mishkan was actually built that you saw that the women's donation was something that they really meant, and that they didn't have second thoughts a few weeks or a few months later. But that was the reason why Rosh Chodesh became the holiday for women, and that Rosh Chodesh is the time that women celebrate this particular day. The it's a very beautiful Aresh Tzvetenu brings a very beautiful medrash that Shlomo HaMelech says is the 22a. Adam echad me'elef matzati. One man in 1,000 I found. V'yisha b'chol eila lo matzati. But a woman in all of eila, of these I have not found. What is it? These referring to the Eil Elohecha Yisrael. This is your God who took you out of Egypt. Among all of this, the women were not found in this, even though women love their jewelry. They were not found in the Chet HaEgel, only in the building of the Mishkan. My friends, if we were just going to take this level one step further to answer our second question. So now we understand, what is Al HaNashim? Al HaNashim, it means that the men were Al HaNashim. They were secondary to the women. The women are the ones who are taking the initiative, which they didn't do in the Chet HaEgel, which they are doing now, showing that the women really wanted to give to the Mishkan, they wanted to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are rewarded for Rosh Chodesh. So our secondary question was, what's the business of this, why this focus of with their jewels, they sin, and with their jewels, they're forgiven. So perhaps we can understand this idea of the jewels playing such an important role. Obviously, a pshutel shall davar is because they didn't give the jewels in one, and they gave the jewels in the other. On a deeper level, the jewels are connected themselves to Rosh Chodesh. Perhaps we can say, there's an idea we've mentioned before, and this is in 22b. Of the Biala Rebbe. The Biala Rebbe points out that if you take a look at the first letters, the first words of the Rosh Chodesh Musaf davening, we begin by saying, Roshei Chadashim La'amcha, and then Natatas Van Kaparal L'chol Todotam, Roshei Chadashim La'amcha, and it's circled here, spells out Reish Chet Lame, the Roshei Tevet, Roshei Chadashim La'amcha, spells out Rachel. Says the Al Rebbe that Rachel Imenu was the one who's connected to Rosh Chodesh. And when we daven in Rosh Chodesh, we're connecting ourselves back to Rachel Imenu. A lot of Torah on why Rachel is connected to Rosh Chodesh. The idea, again, of the four parts of the Merkava is Iyar, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Reish is Rachel. And this is the idea that the Avos had the Shlosh Regalim. Rachel Imenu is the Rosh Chodesh. Some people say David HaMelech is the fourth regal of the Merkava. We know David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. We say in the Kiddush HaLevana, he's also connected to the Rosh Chodesh. Again, there's a lot of Torah here, which is not where we're headed for right now. Albeit as interesting as it is, maybe even more interesting than what we're saying, but that's not our story for today. A lot more to learn, Ritz Hashem. So what is Rachel Imenu? One idea of Rachel Imenu in the perspective that we're dealing with, is what was the greatness of Rachel Imenu? So we all know the greatness of Rachel Imenu was the fact that she gave over the simanim, she gave over the signs, so that Leah Imenu would not be embarrassed. So if you take a look at this medrash, you ask yourself the obvious question. Rachel Imenu could have gone over to Leah and say, look, Leah dear, you and I both know that Yaakov Avinu wants to marry me and not you. And I understand that Lavan is putting you in here, but we know that this is just a charade, and this isn't really where it's at. And obviously, Leah would have said, you're right, you know, 100% Rachel, I know Yaakov, he knows yours, no problem, I'm ready to switch with you, it's great. Like, what's going on here? What was the greatness of Rachel Imenu? So first you explain that the shtika, the silence, which is the pelech shtika of Rachel Imenu, wasn't the fact that she didn't say anything only at that moment of the wedding. There's a lot of history here to Rachel Imenu's silence. And that is the medrash that Rabbi Eliyahu Kito brings in 22c. Amru Chachamim, Kol Otan Sheva Shanim Shavad Yaakov B'Rachel. All 7 years that Yaakov Avinu was working for Rachel, Hayam Meshaleach Sablano Lechotno LeRachel. He would send gifts. And Mashma would seem that they were jewelry to Rachel. Vilavan notanam Leah and love them. Lavan gave them to Leah. Vaita Rachel Sotekat and Rachel Imenu was silent. Rabosai, listen closely. For 7 years, Yaakov Avinu would give gifts to Lavan and said, please give them over to Rachel, right? It's not sneers to give them to Rachel directly. And Rachel watched for those 7 years where Lavan gave them to Leah. In Leah's mind, she thought that she was the intended of Yaakov Avinu. It wasn't just that night. In her mind, she was supposed to marry Yaakov Avinu. So therefore, for Rachel Imenu to come at that moment and say, no, Leah Imenu is like, whoa, where have you been for the last 7 years? The shtika of Rachel Imenu was understanding not to embarrass her sister. For those 7 years, she remained quiet, and this was like the makeh patish at the wedding night. But for all of these years, she was quiet. So we see here that Rachel Imenu, who was able to understand that what is more precious than the jewelry of her husband was to create sensitivity to her sister. And she was able, through those jewelries, to lashkin shalom, to create peace in this house between her and her sister. This very jewelry, which Rachel Imenu was ready to be mevater on, to create shalom, this very jewelry is then echoed in history, is that when the women used their jewelry and said, what's more important than us having the jewelry, we're going to give it for the shalom, for the shechina to rest in Kla Yisrael, then the women then echoed back to the greatness of their matriarch Rachel Imenu, and Rachel being the model, the one who instituted Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, the women, because of giving their jewelry to create Shalom, the Shechina and Kla Yisrael, therefore they were gifted with the gift of Rachel Imenu, who initiated Rosh Chodesh, who is the model of what's more important than my own jewelry is Hashras Hashchina, is Shalom in this world. Just add parenthetically, and if you ask, well, what about the Shalom between Yaakov and Rachel? How could she do this to him? That's the question of first she asked. And again, this is not for us to learn today. You can look at the Eish Tamid from Yisrael Meir Druk, who offers a number of answers, not our discussion for today. And enjoy doing some research. Second approach, my friends, in the time that we have, and this is really where I want to go today. We normally begin way up high and then come down to earth. Today we started on earth and we're going to go up high. Fourth approach. Al is a charge of. Al is on. Al is im. Here's the fourth approach of Al. Rav Mun quotes the Chidushei Arim. According to the Chidushei Arim, source 23, the words of this verse indicate that although late, the men ultimately surpass the women. Al HaNashim, above the women, beyond the women. Right? El Al, flying above. They were motivated by a special incentive which did not apply to the women. They felt the need to atone for their sin in worshiping the golden calf and did so by offering their heartfelt gifts for building the tabernacle. Thus, their contribution was the expression of their repentance. Through this act, they qualified as Balei Tshuva. And their action was judged in accordance to the Talmudic principle, "B'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, tzaddikim gemurim einam yecholim la'amo." Where repentant sinners stand, even those who are completely righteous cannot stand. So you see here, my friends, that they were al anashim. They were greater than the women. Why? Because the women didn't sin. They were like the tzaddikim gemurim. But the men who had used their jewelry for the Egel Zahav, and now using it for the Mishkan, their Baalei Tshuva. And in a place where the Baal Tshuva stands, women can't stand. Ha'al Hanashim. So obviously we need to understand this expression. What does it mean? The Baalei Tshuva seem like greater than Tzaddikim. How can you understand such a thing? So before we look into the Imrei Chemed to understand this a little bit more deeply, there are many answers that are given to this question. I'd just like to make mention of one that a lot of the Mefarshim bring down, that Rabbi Tauber quotes from Ramah Spesa, Ramah Sosel Salman Shlita, with Cords of Faith, where he gives as a mashal the following. He says, imagine a Rebbe has a tish. This is source 26 inside. And all the Hasidim are holding on to every word of the Rebbe. And then a fellow comes in who obviously is a Baal Tshuva, and realizing this recent Baal Tshuva is undoubtedly uncomfortable in this room filled with devout Hasidim, and understand his struggles and challenges he faces, deciding to forgo the lifestyle he'd been leading for a while. The Rebbe stops him and his words. To the astonishment of the crowd, he lovingly motions the young man over to a seat directly at his side, and then continues delivering the Divrei Torah. While this young man's efforts and struggle have earned him the great honor of sitting directly at the Rebbe's table, the elders Hasidim sitting further away are able to gain much deeper grasp of what the Rebbe is teaching. So, b'makom shabale tshuva omdim, you're right, the place where they stand might be a very close place to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim lamod. Perhaps the tzaddikim can't stand there, but in no way does that mean he's greater. The tzaddikim obviously understand what the Rebbe is saying on a much greater level. They appreciate the Ziva Shechina on a whole different level. So you're right, technically Hashem forms the place for these Baalei Tshuva to stand, and where the Baal Tshuva stands, a tzaddik isn't able to stand, but that in no way reflects that a tzaddik is any less than a Baal Tshuva fakir, and a tzaddik is clearly greater. Let's see how the Imrei Chemed describes this. He quotes the whole Chidushei Arim. Let's see this inside because it's very informative. Source 24. The man that sinned in the Egel HaZahav now came al HaNashim, who didn't sin. Vezepe Rish Tshuva, third line down, this is what Tshuva is. Hayidei shelokeach lo derech miratzon lasot hachet, ech latzot ratzon elyon. They take their desire to sin, and now they're channeling that very same desire to do the will of Hashem. Nimsa, you therefore find, double underline, machzir ratzon hachet lemutav. You're returning the chet. You're returning the very will, the very energy of sin for the positive. Those ratzonos, those desires which weren't for Hashem, now can be used for avodas Hashem, and you're bringing them back limkomo, to the very place where they should be. And that's what it means. B'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, in the place where Baal Tshuva stands, i.e. in this place where he's able to return back to where he should have been originally, to take that ratzon, that desire of Hashem, and put it back in its correct place, in the correct perspective. Tzaddikim aren't able to do this because they've never sinned, so they never need to come back to where they started from. Let's try to understand this a little bit more deeply. On the next page, the 226, so the 26 on the next page, we know that by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, who are the ones who are dancing, and what are the songs that they're singing? They're singing the songs of the ones who have never sinned. The Hasidim, the ones who are the pious ones, they're clearly the greater ones, and there's no doubt about it. However, having said that, there is a value of a Baal Tshuva, of somebody who sins and comes back, that a Chassid can't have. What's this value? So the Imrei Chemed, again, Imrei Chemed is Rosh Yeshiva of the Sfasemis Yeshiva, so it's very much based on Gur Torah, explains the following. He says in Parsha Kitisa, in last week's Parsha, the Pasuk says, Vayashav Moshe Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to Hashem, Vayomer, and he says, Ana chata am hazeh chata adolah. You know what, Hashem? The people have sinned a really big sin. Vaisulam Elohei Zahav, and they made a god of gold. So ask the Lev Simcha from Gur, hello, Ana chata am hazeh chata adolah. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to come back and, like, make the sin even bigger. Like, when you're saying, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to do it, it wasn't so bad. No, but sure, nobody knows to say that. You know what? The people sin. And you know what? They sin really bad. Why does he do this? The only way to really do tshuva is to really be aware of what you've done wrong. Like by the Meraglim, he says, the people are just, you know, passing the buck, you know, shifting the blame, and you can't really do tshuva. If you don't think you've done something wrong, you're not going to feel remorse for it. Ana chatam chatagd alat. We messed up. The people messed up. They messed up really big. When you really feel that remorse, when you really feel that shame, so then your tshuva is going to be on a whole different level. Further, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says in 28, and if we find favor in your eyes, Hashem, if I find favor in your eyes, Yelech na Hashem bekibenu Hashem, come with us, ki am kshei orefu, because we are a nation that is a stiff-necked nation. V'salachol v'neinu chatatenu l'chatanu, and Hashem, please forgive us. So also, what's going on here? Right, when we're asking Hashem to come with us, and we're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, and by the way, they're a stiff-necked nation, that's the reason why Hashem shouldn't come with us, not why Hashem should come with us. And he explains, but Hashem says, no, this is the very reason. Because when a person realizes that we've sinned, and a person realizes how easy it is to fall, and how easy it is to mess up, then one realizes the only reason why we're able to do good, and the only reason why we're able not to slip any further is something called Siyata D'Shmaya. It's Hashem helping us out. And without that Siyata D'Shmaya, we wouldn't be successful. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Am Yisrael and Am Kshei Oref. They're difficult people. Hashem, if you don't come with us, there's going to be no way they're going to survive. A Baal Tshuva is somebody who has that clear recognition and clear understanding that they have sinned. And then it's only Be'ezer Eloki, it's only with Siyata D'Shmaya, with the help from above, that they're able to pick themselves back up. And it's only with this Siyata D'Shmaya, this help from above, that they're able to maintain where they're at and not go any further down. A person who's never sinned doesn't realize to the full extent how Kadosh Baruch Hu has to hold their hand on Kol Tzad V'Shav at every step of the way. And this is source 30. And this is why, Mesugel Dafka Adam Shekver Chata, it's only a person who's already sinned, Umipsaro, and from his flesh he has experienced how easy it is to sin, and how you need the help of Hashem to raise yourself up, V'Shekhash Baruch Hu Shilzer Magen Alav, and then Hashem is the one who protects him. Lumato Adam Shalom Chata Mian Mav, person who's never sinned, it's very hard for them to grasp the depth of this. And that's what it means. In a place of Balei Tshuva, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholim La'amod, double line 31, Ki Balei Tshuva B'Mekomam Hachshuvim Zochrim Etev V'Mekomam HaRishon. About Tshuva, when they come back, they remember where they were. They remember how they got there. They remember the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to help them. And that was the greatness of the men over the women. That the men are able to bring not only the gifts that they're bringing, but what else are they bringing? They're bringing the whole process that brought them to this level. They're also bringing that as a gift. And that process themselves, that they realize how Kadosh Baruch Hu is with them, the women aren't able to bring. And in that way, they have a double gift. They have the gift themselves, and they have the mindset and the momentum behind the gift. My friends, I want to take this one step deeper. And with this, we can appreciate why specifically, going back to Rav Goldfech, let's say, why specifically the jewelry. Rav Goldfech discusses in 32, the Sasemis on the Mishnah, Im ein ani li, mi li. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? Ukishani l'atzmi, ma ani. And when I'm only for myself, what am I? So he explains the following. Ein ani li, mi li. Ki kol adam nivra al davar miyucha. Every person is created to accomplish something specific that nobody else could accomplish. And with all this, if I'm only for myself, and I can't give over of myself to the cloud, the ma ani, then who am I? There is a certain dialectic that every single person must have. They must have the sense of self, that there's something unique about them, that they're not just following the crowd. And at the same time, they have to be able to be more Rabbi Mabriels, part of the crowd, and being able to give and contribute of their specialness to the group. Just to see this idea in a very beautiful insight of the Kutzker Rebbe in 33, Sefer we haven't yet used, and Mirza Shem we will use more often now, Ratz Katzvi, Rasvi Reisman from Los Angeles. We know that the Medrash says on the Chochmah of Shlomo HaMelech, the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech, that he was metaken, he established two mitzvahs to Rabbanon. Eruvin, right? The Eruvin is making enclosing an area that people can carry. And the Tilat Yadayim, and washing the hands before bread. So says the Kutzker Rebbe, what was the wisdom of Shlomo on these two things? Because they're the opposites that complement each other. The Eruvin is about getting along with each other, to be Ma'ura, from Ma'ura and Manor Seabor, to be part of the group. The Tilat Yadayim means to raise up, that you're separate. The Chochma of Shlomo HaMelech was that a Jew has to have both of these elements. In what way are you in Tilat Yadayim? In what way are you raised up? Your hands, as might say, is action. In what way what you're doing is unique to you? And at the same time, how are you part of everybody else? Now, here goes. Notes from Goldberg the Fund. He says, when it comes to sin, every person works individually. And this is based on Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva, L'tava yivakesh nifrat, for desire, it's about individuality. Mishim yivakesh alecha r'char tavato, anyone who wants to follow his desire, in this case we're talking about with sin. Nifrat mikoldav chaver vami, you're separating yourself from everyone else. Ki tava b'nei adam u'midoteim chalukot, ein ritzono shel zek, ritzono shel zek, says Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. What one person desires is not what the other person desires. So even if two people are going to get together and, you know, do an aveira together, their agendas are separate agendas. So we know this. You know, you have a group of people who want to start up with Lashon Hara against the teacher, right, and get the teacher fired. So this one is because their shimmy doesn't get along with this teacher. This one is because this reason. And that one's because of that reason. They all bond together. But each one's reason of why getting rid of the teacher, whatever aveira they're involved in, is for personal reasons. Everyone has their own agenda. You can't she'af ha'shutvim l'dvar aveira ain't shutveyam, and the asterisk in 34, ma'gadatam be'emes, doesn't really join them in truth, right? That's the famous Mishnah of the Machloket, the Shem Shemayim, is Hillel and Shammai. Machloket, Shalosh Shemayim, is Korach Vadasa. It's Korach and his Eda themselves, each one in its own, didn't get along with each other. Everyone had their own agenda. This is not true in the Arrow Lokain, Hadavar B'Shat Simcha Shemitva. When you're doing something for the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you're involved in a mitzvah, Hasas L'Kayem Sivui Baro, you're working toward a mitzvah, you're moving to beyond yourself. You're doing something for a more altruistic reason. And when you're moving to that level beyond yourself, then you're able to join together and really work in a cohesive manner. That is why, by Mamad Har Sinai, Vayichan Shem Yisrael, Ke'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, that everyone is joining together, their she'ifos, their desires, are joining together in order to do Ritzon Hashem, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if this is true of, generally, of Averos, it's for sure true in 37 for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, everyone has their reason why they want to create an Avodah Zarah. And that's why they form the image of Avodah Zarah the way they want it to be. So you want an Avodah Zarah to worship for beauty, so you make one beautiful. You want one for strength, you make one that looks strong. And you see this itself in the in the 39, in the Chet HaEgel, when it says, Eile Elohecha Yisrael she'alucha meretz Yisrael, ma tomar he'alucha l'shon rabim, she'ezu Elohut Rabbeh, that they did, she'ivu Elohut Rabbeh, they made many gods, and we saw this originally in the Ne'er Uzziel. It wasn't one god, everyone had a reason why they were serving he'alucha, that brought us up. Everyone had a reason why they wanted their God. And that would explain also that Medrash that says that they all made little gods, because they're not just happy having one God. They need to have a personal God, because everyone has their own agenda. Sin creates agenda. Sin creates taking, here's the key, one's individual uniqueness, one's individual persona, and is channeling it for the sin. So we spoke about that every person needs to find what makes them unique, what makes them special. What the challenge is to be able to take that uniqueness and what makes you special and be able to bring you as part of the cohesive group, that you're adding your color to the spectrum of the rainbow. Well, the problem with sin is when you take your individuality, when you take that which makes you special and you just self-indulge and it's only about you and it's not being helpful for anybody and it's all about how I can take what I want and be able to serve my personal needs. Now, I can appreciate going back to the previous page, source 35. We can understand what tshuva is. What tshuva is, Shemaseh tshuva gufo afu sherashav netunim al pagei kokot hanefesh hapratiim ishiim. Hachazara b'tshuva hino malach ishi intimi. Hakaruch b'chol revadav l'pekidat im ein ani limili. Ki akirat hanefesh mitomot yuta acheid, eila nishpila b'malach acheid, v'ashavatalim kora, hino talich shit amut ishit b'matzava. Says Rav Goldsmith so beautifully. You know what tshuva is? Tshuva is taking that core individuality, which I have perverted into self-pleasure, and being able to now elevate that with the realization that I need to use it for avodas Hashem. That's the path of tshuva. The path of tshuva is that every individual is going to take who they are and going to be able to use it to serve Hashem. The goal of the path, the goal of tshuva, the final destination, is to join with everybody else, to be part of everybody else, to be united with everybody else. So now I can appreciate what's going on here. So just like we saw in Nimrei Chemed, what was the path of tshuva of these men? They took that desire for individuality. They took that desire for what makes them unique and special and that they want to form their own God. And they took that very part of themselves, and now al ha-nashi, they elevated it to be able now to submerge that individuality and that will as part of the collective whole, as giving it to the Mishkan, and saying instead of just focusing in on myself, I'm now being able to become part of the group and giving of my specialness to the group. That was the tshuva. It wasn't just giving a donation. It was much deeper than that. It was submerging their own instincts to a much higher cause and elevating the core of who they are. Notes Rav Goldsmith on the second page, on the last page, it really should be source 40, not 30. It's after 39. The chep. Now I can appreciate what the Medrash means with jewelry. Notes Rav Goldsmith Satzal that jewelry is something which is unique to a person. When we're talking about style, so dress has a certain style, and jewelry has a certain style. I remember on my recent trip to Baltimore, there was a woman who every day wore a different pin, and she was known for her pins, like they were unique pins that, you know, whatever it was. Like people have, some people wear necklaces, some people wear, you know, earrings, to show individuality. So dress is one mode of individuality. The problem with dress is if you all go shopping in the same city, very often you land up with the same clothes. My daughter just recently had that. They were in school for whatever, they had a class, and then they were going to a friend's brother's bar mitzvah, and her friend both went into the bathroom to change, and they came out, boom, with the exact same outfit, right? Well, you live in a small city, they, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's what's going to happen. How do you still create your individuality? So this one has that necklace, this one has that earring. Jewelry is something very personal. So now I understand, with that jewelry, which represented taking that jewelry to make their God, which represents taking their individuality and using it for their own personal purposes, they now took that jewelry, and the jewelry, we're saying, is likened to, equals, individuality, and they're taking that very jewelry, which is a representation, a symbolism of their individuality, and now they're bringing it to the Mishkan for the collective whole, and that was their tshuva, and that was their uniqueness. The women who never sinned, never had this problem of, you know, diverting this personal, you know, need into something that was inappropriate. So they never had to then rechannel it. And in this way, this is what the Kedushei Arim means, that the men were greater than the women because the men had to work harder to take that wrestle, to take that desire, to take that individuality, to take those jewels and be able now to rechannel them, not for self, but for Avodas Hashem. And obviously the lesson for us on this level is very profound. To ask ourselves so often, when we take a look at ourselves, when we look in the mirror, and we ask ourselves, what makes me unique? What makes me special? And then the next question to ask myself is, how am I using this uniqueness? How am I developing this aspect of me that's special? And then my final question, and the most important question is, am I using it just to further my own goals, my own profession, my own, you know, sense of self and negative mitos? Or am I using it to be able to help the cloud, to be help Am Yisrael, to be able to elevate it for the service of Hashem? And that's the challenge that we all have. That even in areas where we may have been a little bit too selfish, our challenge is to learn from these men, to be able to channel it, because none of us are perfect, to be able to say, how can I take the very act that, you know, I'm using this just for me. I'm using, you know, my writing, my speech, my whatever it is, just to further my own goals. How can I be able to then give it over to a much higher level to make myself part of the whole? How can I contribute my talents that Am Yisrael can benefit from them? And it's not just about me, my ego, and my self-serving aspects of my life. The final aspect, because as we've seen, there are many layers of understanding the Chumash. There's a fifth level to understand this, which is totally different. And that Lashon Chassidim brings, based on the Orach L'Chaim, is that when we talk here about the Anashim and the Nashim, the male and the female, we're not talking about genders. We're talking about a concept. Men, as we know, are the Duchra, are the givers. And the Mashpia, the ones who influence. And this is the end of 31. And women are the Nukva, the Mechina Tamakaba. They're the receivers. So here, Vizel Vayavo HaNashim, when Kla Yisrael, both the men and the women, HaNashim here means when they were the ones who were the Mashpia, the men in terms of conceptually, when they were the ones who gave to the Mishkan, Al HaNashim, they understood that they are giving it in order to be able to be mashpia, that they are going to be able to receive. They understood when they were giving, it's al hanashim, that they are going to receive much more in their giving, in their receiving, than they are in giving. And therefore they gave the simcha kol nadiv lev, because they knew that their giving was going to benefit them tremendously. As we've known, beginning of 31, Yoter mimasha bal habayit osei ma'ani, ha'ani osei im bal habayit. More than the poor person, more than the owner, the house owner gives to the poor person does for the person giving the staka. So when Klal Yisrael gave, they understood that when you give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you give for a spiritual cause, in no way are you losing. HaNashim al HaNashim. The givers are going to gain so much more from the receivers, which means that for all that we give, Hashem is going to return us so much more in return. And that's why, as we've seen before, the Berach Chesed, Rav Biderman Berach Chaim in 33, the final source, final two sources notes, a person should be very joyful when somebody comes knocking on his door to ask for money, because he should know that from Shemayim, it's giving them a great gift, that Hashem has sent him this ani, that when Hashem says the Zohar Kadosh, when Hashem wants to give a person a gift, How did he send him a gift? He sent him a poor person to do this mitzvah of giving him the money, and then Hashem is going to reward this person many-fold more for giving him this money. And that's why in 34, that when an ani knocks on your door, so you shouldn't feel like, oh my gosh, another schnorrer, another beggar, but rather, adrabba, 34 in the asterisk, yodelo, thank you so much for coming to my house, that that instead of me having to go out and find you, you came to my house, thank you, and to give them with a full heart, hanashim, al hanashim, because when you give, you gain far more. My friends, the upshot for us is that when we have opportunities to develop ourselves, we have opportunities to give for Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have opportunities to create Hashras Hashchina, we need to follow these women, Bezrisos, with alacrity, with simcha, and that there's no greater joy than to be able to give to something, a cause that's Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, and instead of losing out on this, we are going to gain far more.